Captain Midnight, a legendary character, has a rich history that spans various media forms, radio origins. Captain Midnight, originally known as Captain Jim Red Albright, made his debut in 1938 as a radio serial sponsored by the Skelly Oil Company. The show was created by Wilford G. Moore and Robert M. Burt, and the show captivated audiences with thrilling adventures. Albright, a World War I U.S. Army pilot, received the codename Captain Midnight after a high-risk mission that he completed precisely at midnight. Ovaltine took over sponsorship in 1940, and the show continued to inspire young listeners with imaginative technological advancements. The Secret Squadron and Wartime Adventure. Things changed a bit. When Ovaltine took over, the origin story evolved. Captain Albright was recruited to lead the Secret Squadron, an aviation-oriented paramilitary organization. The Secret Squadron fought sabotage, espionage, and unconventional aspects of World War II. Albright's adventures spanned Europe, South America, the Pacific, and continental Asia, battling against villains like Ivan Shark, Baron von Karp, and Admiral Himekito. Then there was the television series. In the 1950s, Captain Midnight soared onto TV screens. The TV series featured the Secret Squadron's leader flying around the globe in his personal jet, the Silver Dart, alongside his comical sidekick, Ichabod Mudd, and scientist Dr. Aristotle Jones. Captain Midnight faced criminals and spies. Captain Midnight's legacy extends beyond radio and TV. It included serial films, a syndicated newspaper strip, and a comic book title. His mass secrets, identity, and remarkable aviation skills continue to inspire fans across generations. So whether it's soaring through the skies or unraveling mysteries, Captain Midnight remains an enduring symbol of adventure. You are going to hear on this track two back-to-back episodes. The first one is called The Wreckage and came from January 17, 1940, and it's episode 54 in my list, which is not an official list. I think it was something like episode 218 in the actual list, but I don't have all those. The second program you're going to hear is Sick and Injured. It's my episode 55, and it was January 19th, 1940, so just 2 days later. This is Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program. My name is John Lovering, and I appreciate very much you listening in. Thank you.
The Skelly Oil Company presents Captain Midnight. Captain Midnight, brought to you three times each week by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Joppers and Diva. But first, I know you're all waiting to hear about the big surprise gift I started to tell you about Monday. That swell new gift for every member of Captain Midnight's 1940 Flight Patrol. And say, you'd never guess what it is. It's something you couldn't get anyplace else in the world. It's really three presents all in one. 'Cause listen, it's a picture of three of your very best friends. Captain Midnight and Chuck Ramsey and Patsy Donovan. Yes, sir, a swell big picture of all three of them, all standing together there in front of Captain Midnight's big monoplane. And what's more, this picture is autographed to you. Captain Midnight and Chuck and Patsy have all signed their full names under their pictures with a special greeting to every member of the 1940 Flight Patrol. Say, wouldn't Ivan Shark give a lot to get his hands on this picture with all our friends' names signed in their own handwriting? But believe me, Shark couldn't get this picture for any price. No, sir. They aren't for sale. They're for Flight Patrol members only. But now listen. Here's how to get your swell new picture of Captain Midnight and Chuck and Patsy absolutely free. You just stop in at your Skelly service station the next time you're out in the family car. Show your Skelly man your Flight Patrol membership card, and he'll give you your free picture right then and there. That's all there is to it. You don't need any seals or labels or box tops or anything like that. All you do is show your Flight Patrol membership card to your friendly Skelly man. He'll give you your free picture and a good big smile thrown in besides. And say, boy, won't you be proud to have your very own autographed picture of all three of your famous friends. A big, clear picture to put up in your own room or on the wall over the radio or in your secret hiding place where you keep all your other valuable treasures. Well, I know this much. You'll surely treasure this brand new picture of Captain Midnight and Chuck and Patsy. And think of it. It isn't going to cost you a single penny, not even for a stamp. Say, whatever you do, don't forget to ask Mother or Dad to stop by your Skelly service station with you the very next time you're out in the car so you can get your own free picture right away. And now to Captain Midnight. The voice heard indistinctly over the radio asking for help is believed to be that of Major Steele or Bud Conley. In an effort to find them, Captain Midnight, Chuck Ramsey, Ma, and Patsy Donovan have taken off in the blue-winged plane formerly flown by Ivan Sharks' chief pilot, Gardo. After flying for 3 hours without any success, Patsy calls out suddenly that she sees something below, and then Chuck exclaims that it looks like an airplane wing. Listen as Patsy says,
"Gosh, Captain Midnight, it's an airplane wing, all right, but it's all torn to pieces."
There's no question about it. It's a broken wing of a plane, but whether it's from the Spartan or not, I can't tell.
Sure, and I think I see some numbers on it.
What? What's that, Mrs. Donovan? Where do you see numbers?
On that thing hanging in the trees.
What? I see what she means. It's a different piece, not what we were looking at before.
Oh, sure, I see it, too. It must be part of the other wing.
And there are numbers on it, all right.
Those will be the plane's identification numbers. We should be able to tell right away whether it's the Spartan or not.
Oh, quick, Captain, look. I can see only three numbers. The rest must have been torn off.
Where are they, Chuck?
Oh, wait. I see them. Now, wait a minute. I'll bank the ship a little bit. Oh, yes, now I can see better. The first numeral is 7, the next one is 2, and the one following that is 3. It must be the Spartan. Those were the last three numerals of our identification number. There can't be any doubt about it. And that's what's left of it.
Oh, but if you heard Major Steele's voice, he must still be alive.
Well, now watch it now. Uh-oh, we're down plenty low. I'm going to circle around, see if there are any signs of life. Now watch it.
I can't understand why Major Steele picked this place.
He didn't pick it, Chuck. Something must have happened.
Look, Captain Midnight, look. I see something down between the trees.
So do I. It's the fuselage. That's what it is.
You're right, Chuck. The body of the plane is down between those trees.
Now I can see the nose and even the propeller.
Yeah, I saw it, too. Now I've lost it.
Oh, the poor fellows. I guess they can't be alive.
Gosh, Captain Midnight, how are we going to land and find out?
I don't know yet, Patsy. I'm beginning to wonder.
I think I know what happened, Captain Midnight. Major Steele was trying to get in that open place just beyond and didn't quite make it.
You're right, Chuck. I've been looking at that spot myself. I think Major Steele was trying to get in there, and he just couldn't stretch his glide far enough.
Gee, you suppose we can land there?
I don't know. We'll have to look it over first.
Oh, sure, and I think I saw something. A man.
What?
Where was he, Ma?
Down between the branches of those trees.
Hold it now, hold it. I'm going closer.
There is someone down there. What? Oh, he's right in the cabin door.
He's trying to get out. He's looking up at us. I can see him so clearly.
Watch it, everyone. I've got to pull up.
Oh, what can we do, Captain Midnight? That was Major Steele. I'm sure of it. He must be injured. And there's no telling what's happened to Bud Conley.
We've got to get first aid to them right away. But we can't take any chances of cracking up ourselves.
What about this open place? Don't you think we can get down there?
Oh, it's pretty small. But I think you can do it, Captain Midnight.
Yes, I know I can do it, Chuck, but I'm thinking about getting out again. But wait. I figured out a plan. We're going down for a landing, all right now? Buckle your belts, everyone.
There. Mine's buckled.
Yeah, so are mine and Ma's.
Which way are you going to land?
It all depends on the direction of the wind.
The wind was from the south when we started.
Sure, we had a tailwind then.
Wait a minute. Still blowing from the south, see? See the leaves on those trees? They're turned backwards.
Oh, that makes it swell. You can go downwind, then sideslip and land against the wind. And you'll also be going uphill.
That's the idea, all right, Chuck. All right. I'm throttling the engine now.
Boy, are we losing altitude fast now.
Be sure your belts are buckled. That ground looks very rough.
I'm pulling mine up tighter. You better do the same, Ma.
Oh, sure, and mine's so tight now I can hardly breathe.
Oh, we're turning back into the wind. Oh, gosh, look at Captain Midnight's sideslip.
Oh, look out, Captain Midnight. The wings are going right into the ground.
No, they aren't. You wait and see.
Look at that wing come up, Ma. And we've turned into the wind.
We're down below the treetops now.
Oh, look out. We're going to hit those trees.
No, we won't, Ma. Look.
See? Captain Midnight's changing direction. The plane's straightened out.
Watch it now. Watch it. We're going to hit.
That was sure swell. You might think we were landing on a big airport.
Oh, praise the saints. That ground sure feels good again.
All right. I'm going to let the ship coast as far as possible because the south end of the field is nearest Major Steele and the Spartan.
Oh, you're not even going to be able to get there without using your engine.
Yes, yes, I'll have to give her a burst or two, all right?
A little bit more and we'll be there.
Now, the first aid kit is in the baggage compartment behind the rear seat.
I know where it is. I'll get it out.
That's the stuff, Patsy. We'll have it ready as soon as we bring the ship to a stop.
Shall we bother to turn the plane around?
No, we won't do that. We haven't got time now. All right, here we are. I'll cut the switch.
I've got the first aid kit.
All right, come on now. Let's pile out. Looks like rough going, so we'll have to help Mrs. Donovan.
Okay, I'll get the door. Come on, let's hurry. Come on, we're almost there. I see the nose of the ship.
Look, Major Steele seems terribly weak. He can hardly walk.
Oh, Major Steele! Major Steele!
I'd hardly know him. Look at the beard on his face.
Captain Midnight. Chuck.
Barry. Barry, what in the world has happened to you?
Conley. He's inside. Help him first.
Oh, what's the matter with him, Barry? Is he hurt bad?
He didn't get hurt. The plane, he's sick. Some kind of a fever.
Oh, have you got any water, Major Steele?
Yes, Mrs. Donovan. In a thermos jug inside the cabin door.
Oh, quick, quick, Patsy. Give me that first aid kit.
Go in. Help him, quick.
Are you all right, Barry?
Yes, I'm all right. Just a little bit weak. Go in with Conley. He's in the cabin.
All right. We'll be out in a minute. Come on, Mrs. Donovan. You and I'll go in first.
Is there anything Patsy and I can do?
Yes, Chuck. Go back to the ship and bring back that small alcohol stove. Open a can of bouillon and fix some broth for Major Steele.
Well, that'll be fine. But hurry. Hurry to Conley.
Patsy and I'll be back in a jiffy.
All right, Mrs. Donovan. Now, let me help you into the cabin. Yeah, that's it.
There, now I'm all right. Oh, sakes alive. There's Conley on the floor, lying on some blankets.
Yes. He's got a high fever, I can see that.
Oh, there's some quinine tablets in the first aid kit. We've got to get a couple down his throat.
Oh, yes. There's the thermos jug that Barry spoke of.
Oh, here. Here's the bottle of quinine tablets. Now, give me the cup and the thermos jug.
Oh, wait a minute. All right, here you are.
We won't be able to get him to swallow these tablets the way they are. We'll have to grind them into powder.
All right, drop them in this cup. Here's a little stick. I'll grind them into powder with that.
There you are.
It won't take a second to grind them up.
Oh, sure, they're crumbling up good. Now, there, that's enough. Now pour some water into the cup. There, that should be enough. Now hold him up if you can, and I'll try to get this down his throat.
Come on now, Bud. Come on, old boy. We're trying to help you now. We're going to bring you out of this, Bud.
Oh, sure, he won't open his mouth.
Well, I'll see if I can force it open. Oh. Come on, Bud.
Oh, there, now you've got it open.
All right. There, Bud, there. Now you're all right. Now lean back in these blankets.
Oh. Sure, he got it down all right, and it'll do him a lot of good.
How high a fever do you think he's got?
Oh, about 104, I guess. But I'll take it in a couple of minutes to be sure.
What do you think we'd better do with him, Mrs. Donovan?
Oh, I don't think it's safe to move him. That is, unless you can fly him out of here in the plane.
I don't know about that. When I landed here, I figured if necessary, I'd have Chuck fly the ship out empty and go for help. Now, with Conley this sick, I may have to change my plans.
Oh, sure, and what you ought to do is to get Connie to a hospital right away. And Major Steele, too, for that matter.
I don't think we can take both of them out at the same time. We may not be able to take off even one. I'll have to go and take a look at that field first.
Well, in the meantime, we've got to break up this fever if we can. If it lasts much longer, well...
Yes. You stay here, Mrs. Donovan, while I go out and see Major Steele. Between us, we'll decide what's best to do.
All right, Captain. I'll be giving Connie some more quinine in a little while.
Good.
How's Conley, Captain?
He's in pretty bad shape, Barry.
Yes, he's got some kind of a fever. Just what kind, I don't know.
How long has he been sick?
Well, about 5 days. But the fever's been getting worse every day.
Well, what happened to the first aid kit? I always used to keep one in the Spartan.
We threw it overboard.
Threw it overboard?
Yes, we were having engine trouble. We were getting lower and lower. Finally, just clipping the treetops. We kept throwing out things to stay in the air. Those blankets Conley is lying on were all we had left.
Yes, I guess something like that must have happened. Otherwise, you never would have landed here.
I was trying to get to that open place, straight ahead. The place where you landed. But we just couldn't make it.
You're lucky to be alive, judging by what I see.
Both wings were torn out, and we settled into the trees. Luckily, the engine wasn't hurt. We had some gas left. Not very good, though. That's what let us down.
Yes, I was afraid of that gas. Remember, I told you about it.
We thought we could get to the border, but she kept overheating and finally cut out. Twice a day, I've been running the engine for about 5 minutes and calling for help over the radio. But we're down here so low, and the engines kept missing, I didn't know whether the signals got out.
Yes, they got out all right. That's the only way we found you.
What are you going to do, Captain? I know you won't have an easy time taking off from that small clearing here. There are too many of us for your ship. And, well, just what are you going to do?
It's a tough problem, Barry. But it's got to be answered. Because a man's life depends on it.
Well, in coming to the help of Major Steele and Bud Conley, Captain Midnight has again made a dangerous landing in a small jungle clearing. The lives of several people are now at stake. What can be done? Tune in to Captain Midnight. Now don't forget, get your free autographed picture of Captain Midnight and his two young friends, Chuck Ramsey and Patsy Donovan, at your Skelly service station the next time you're out in the family car. It's a swell big picture photographed right in front of Captain Midnight's big silver monoplane. Boy, you'll sure be proud to show your friends your very own picture of your three most famous fellow members of the 1940 Flight Patrol. But remember, none of this is going to cost you a single penny. It doesn't cost anything to join. And it doesn't cost anything to get this swell new picture of Captain Midnight and Chuck and Patsy. It's absolutely free to members of the 1940 Flight Patrol. So, the next time you're out in the car, ask Mother or Dad to stop by your Skelly service station. Show the Skelly man your Flight Patrol membership card and get your autographed picture tonight. And don't forget to listen Friday, same time, same station, for further transcribed adventures of Captain Midnight, brought to you by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jobbers and Dealers. With Bud Conley dangerously ill and hundreds of miles from medical aid, Captain Midnight is faced with another baffling problem. A human life is at stake. What will he do? Be sure to listen Friday. Until then, this is Don Gordon, your Skelly man, saying goodbye and happy landing!
Invasion so much on our minds, naturally we're all talking about it. It's the most important thing in our lives. But please, when we talk, let's remember this. Careless talk costs lives. Our enemy is clever. He hopes we aren't. He hopes we'll tell in a bus or a restaurant or to someone who'll repeat it some little piece of information he wants. He hopes we'll talk about our letters from men in the service and repeat what they said. And those of us who are in war work, yes, he hopes we'll let out some of the things we know about our work. Well, let's fool him, please. The enemy has big ears. He hopes we have big mouths. Let's show him he's wrong. Let's think before we speak. Let's remember that careless talk costs lives.
The Skelly Oil Company presents Captain Midnight. Captain Midnight, brought to you three times each week by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jobbers and Dealers. But say, fellows and girls, have you got that grand free gift I told you about the other day? That swell big new picture of Captain Midnight and his two young friends, Chuck and Patsy? Well, if you haven't, you better stop by your Skelly service station for your copy the very next time you're out in the family car. Because you'll certainly want to have one of these marvelous pictures as soon as you see them. Remember, you can't get these pictures anyplace else in the world. They're not for sale anywhere. And they're autographed to you by Captain Midnight and Chuck Ramsey and Patsy Donovan themselves. They're standing right in front of Captain Midnight's speedy monoplane. And they're all dressed in their flying suits and helmets, ready to take off. It's the kind of picture every air-minded fella and girl will be proud to own. So listen, why not be the first one in your room at school to have one? Wouldn't that be fun? Well, here's all you do to get this swell new picture absolutely free. It isn't going to cost you a single penny, even for a stamp. You don't need any seals or labels or box tops or anything like that. You just have mother or dad stop by your Skelly service station the next time you're out in the family car. Show your Skelly man your Flight Patrol membership card, and he'll give you your free picture right on the spot. If you're not yet a member of the new 1940 Flight Patrol, tell your Skelly man, and he'll show you how to join and get a free Spinner Medal of membership. That's all free, too. Yes, sir. Just ask your friendly Skelly man about it the next time you're out in the car with mother or dad. Now, don't forget, you'll sure want to have that swell autographed picture of Captain Midnight and his two young friends, Chuck Ramsey and Patsy Donovan. And they're absolutely free to members of the 1940 Flight Patrol. So stop by your Skelly service station and get your very own free copy of this marvelous new picture tonight. And now to Captain Midnight. The famous pilot, accompanied by Chuck Ramsey and Ma and Patsy Donovan, has found Major Barry Steele and Bud Conley in a deserted part of Mexico, several hundred miles below the American border. Conley, however, is dangerously ill with some kind of tropical fever. Major Steele himself is weak and thin from lack of food. It is now an hour after Captain Midnight made his landing. Patsy and Ma Donovan are caring for the rescued pilots, while Captain Midnight and Chuck are looking over the small clearing in which Captain Midnight landed the plane. Let's listen as Captain Midnight says,
"Tell you the truth, Chuck, I knew when I landed here that I couldn't take off again with the plane loaded as it was, even under the most favorable conditions. And now, since I've been on the ground, I know such a takeoff would be impossible."
"Gosh, well, then what are we going to do?"
"You're going to make the takeoff, Chuck. After watching you take that plane out of the small square in front of the temple, I'm well sold in your ability. And don't forget this. There's 50 pounds difference in weight between us."
"You want me to take off with Conley?"
"Well, I'm not so sure yet, Chuck. It depends on what Mrs. Donovan says about his condition. I may have you take off alone, go for help, and then return. Or we may decide to take a chance in sending Conley with you."
"Is Conley's condition very serious?"
"Yes, Chuck, I think it is. Mrs. Donovan hasn't said much. But what she hasn't said carries more weight than spoken words. I've seen a lot of tropical fever, Chuck. It's bad."
"But Ma Donovan's doing all she can to check it, isn't she?"
"Oh, of course she is, Chuck. But don't forget, we're not equipped like a hospital. All we've got is a few quinine tablets."
"Oh, gosh. If the wind would only change."
"Yes, we'd better pray for that. Because I'm afraid Bud Conley's life depends on it."
"I've been looking at the field again, Captain Midnight. But there just isn't any other way to get off."
"No, Chuck. I've studied this clearing from every angle. A shift in the wind is our only chance."
"Of course, if I'm to take off alone, or even with Conley, we can do a few things to lighten the plane without dumping any gas."
"Sure we can, Chuck. I'm taking that into my calculations. Now, I figure we'll take out the right front seat, the two rear seats, and clean out the baggage compartment. We could even take out part of the wall leading from the cabin to the baggage compartment and fix a place for Conley on the floor."
"Sure, we can do all those things, and they'll help a lot, too. Ah, gee."
"What's the matter now, Chuck?"
"Oh, I was just thinking. We don't know how far away from civilization we are. And it certainly isn't likely we could get Conley out on foot. Or do you think we could?"
"No, Chuck, no. I don't think there's a chance. We might start and find it would take a couple of weeks to get out. We haven't got enough provisions for a trip like that. And our very existence would depend on our ability to shoot game for food.
And in the meantime, Conley would die."
"Yes, that's certain."
"So our only hope lies in using our plane. And we're even prevented from doing that."
"Yes, I know. Well, come on, Chuck. Let's go back to camp and see how Major Steele and Conley are getting along."
"Okay, let's go. Oh, I certainly hope he's going to be all right."
"Hi there, Captain Midnight. Hello, Chuck."
"Well, how's everything, Patsy? How's Major Steele?"
"Well, I can speak for myself now, thanks to Patsy and Mrs. Donovan. That broth they gave me has made me feel like a new man."
"Well, I'm certainly glad to hear that, Barry. Man, you look a lot better, too."
"Yes, I feel I'm going to live now. But before you got here, I had my doubts."
"How's Bud Conley?"
"You'll have to ask Patsy about that. She was in to see her mother a couple of minutes ago."
"What about her, Patsy?"
"Well, I just helped Ma give him some more quinine, but I'm afraid he isn't any better."
"Did Mrs. Donovan take his temperature?"
"Yes, it was 104.5.
"Good night. 104.5. Well, that's pretty high, isn't it?"
"Yes, it's plenty high, Chuck. Can't stand that very long."
"Yes, I know he can't. We're going to get him out of here just as quickly as we can. But for the time being, our hands are tied."
"Well, that doesn't sound very good. What did you find out when you looked at the field?"
"We found out this much. A takeoff can't be made until the wind shifts to the north."
"What direction is it blowing from now? I can't feel any breeze down here."
"No, we're protected under the trees. But the wind is coming from the south."
"And it's got to shift around to the north, you say?"
"That's it."
"But gee, Captain Midnight, the wind might not shift for days."
"Yes, I know. That's true, Patsy. And if it doesn't shift, it's going to put us in a bad situation."
"You mean us or Bud Conley?"
"Well, primarily Bud Conley. But it may put us in a bad situation, too. We only have provisions enough for a few days. And so far, I haven't seen a bit of game.
No, it's plenty scarce, and I can't understand it, because this is a wild country.
Oh, by the way, I was going to ask you, have you done any exploring, that is, before you became so weak?
Yes, both of us. Before Conley got sick, tramped around for miles, but we didn't find a sign of human life. We could only estimate our position roughly, and from the map, we were afraid we were some distance from any town. We considered starting out on foot, but finally decided it would be more dangerous than staying with the ship.
I think you made a wise decision. If you had started a walkout and then Conley got sick, he'd have been sunk.
Yeah, there isn't the slightest doubt about that.
Gosh, Major Steele, you probably thought that when you didn't come back to us, that we'd start looking for you.
No, Chuck. I had very little hope of that. The situation being what it was, when I left you, I was afraid your hands would be full.
They were, Barry. Only too full. As a matter of fact, I think we were lucky to get away as quickly as we did.
Well, go ahead. Tell me about it. There isn't anything we can do for the time being. Mrs. Donovan is taking care of Conley, and you can't make a takeoff until the wind changes. So let us know what happened.
Well, the thing you'll be most glad to hear is that Senor Pareda and his daughter Dolores are safe.
Well, thank heaven for that.
And that's the good news we have, Major Steele. But we've got some bad news, too.
Bad news? What could be bad news after that?
Chuck's right, Barry. We do have some bad news for you. Now, you remember that you and Conley were trapped in that deserted cabin on the edge of that little mountain field where you landed?
I'll say I remember. That's one of the narrowest escapes I ever had. We couldn't get out of the shack because the place was surrounded by armed men. And then, the dirty rats set fire to it.
And if you hadn't found that hole in the floor leading to the old mine shaft, you wouldn't have had a chance.
No, Chuck. Conley and I would have been just as dead as that old tree trunk that you're sitting on.
But I still haven't told you the bad news. Who do you think those men were working for? The ones who had you trapped.
I haven't got the faintest idea. Mexican bandits, I suppose.
It was a lot worse than that, Major Steele.
You tell him, Chuck.
Okay. Well, Major Steele, those men were working for Ivan Shark.
Ivan Shark? Well, what do you know about that?
Yes, it was Ivan Shark. He'd stolen Senor Pareda's hacienda and was trying to make away with both the Pareda treasure and the huge herd of cattle owned by the Pareda estate.
Why, it seems almost incredible. But what's the bad news?
Well, when things ended, Ivan Shark escaped.
Escaped? Well, cheer up, Captain. After all, you're all alive and have your health. We'd better be thankful for that.
And we are, too. But it would have been a lot better if we had captured Ivan Shark.
We almost had him in our hands, too, Major Steele. The morning he escaped, Captain Midnight and I missed capturing him by about a minute.
Well, a minute can be like 24 hours sometimes, Chuck. Some of the minutes I've been through lately have been like that.
And another bad thing. Shark's chief lieutenant, his daughter Fury, an Oriental named Fang, and a fellow named Gardo all escaped with him.
Did he escape by plane?
Yes, Barry. In that same plane Shark was flying when he was going under the name of Douglas Chadwick.
Yes, I remember. A bi-motored silver-winged monoplane.
That's it.
Same plane passed over this place the day before yesterday, about noon.
What?
I thought sure the pilot would see the torn wings of the Spartan on top of the trees.
Lupin Loops, what do you know about that?
Wait a minute. Which direction was he flying?
Almost straight north. The same course that you were flying.
Oh, gee, Captain Midnight. Why, Shark must have headed for the United States.
Evidently, because Conley and I were flying on the same course. We were headed for the nearest United States border.
Well, of all the nerve.
Oh, I wish I knew where he was headed.
Well, there's no telling about that.
Well, I wish I had known who was flying that ship. I'd have tried to broadcast a warning. Though I guess it wouldn't have done any good, because you're the only ones who heard my call for help.
But you haven't told us what happened to you, Barry.
Well, there isn't very much to tell. As I said, we were headed for the nearest point on the border. About 100 miles after we left you that morning, the engine began to overheat. But it was very gradual, otherwise I'd have turned back.
I was afraid of that. The gas you had wasn't suitable for the Spartan's engine. But then what happened next?
Well, as the engine got hotter, we started losing revs. And then, little by little, we started losing altitude. There was only one thing to do, keep on going. I thought there might be a chance to keep the plane in the air until we get across the border. But finally, even after we'd thrown out everything that we could, we were right over the treetops. At last, I saw we couldn't make it. I was trying to pancake into that clearing ahead when we mushed into the trees.
That must have been a terrible moment.
We thought we were finished, I can tell you that. But we had strapped ourselves in tightly and weren't going very fast. And when we started scraping in the treetops, I started pulling the nose up. Succeeded in killing some speed that way.
Well, Barry, you and Conley are lucky to be alive. Come on, Chuck. Let's get back to the plane. We've got a job to do.
Okay, Captain Midnight. What is it?
I'm going to send a code message to the authorities to be on the lookout for Shark's plane. Then, we're going to start lightening the ship so we can be ready when the wind shifts.
Look, there's Ma in the doorway of the Spartan.
Oh, Captain Midnight, can you come here?
No, certainly, Mrs. Donovan. Wait a minute, Chuck. I'll be right back.
Okay.
What is it, Mrs. Donovan?
Please come inside. I want you to look at Mr. Conley.
Oh, yes, of course I will.
I'm afraid Mr. Conley isn't any better.
Yes. His face looks very flushed. Oh, I see you have a thermometer in his mouth.
Yes, and I want you to look at his temperature. Here's the thermometer.
Let's see.
Can you see? What is it now?
Yes. Yes, I see. It's 105.
Oh, Captain Midnight, we've got to do something for Mr. Conley. I've done all I could, and yet his temperature keeps going up. That can't go on much longer. You know what that means.
Conley is in a very critical condition, or Mrs. Donovan wouldn't have brought Captain Midnight into the cabin to tell him what she did. But what can Captain Midnight do? The only chance of helping Conley is to get him to a hospital by plane. But the plane cannot take off until the wind shifts. If then, what will happen? Tune in Monday to Captain Midnight. Remember, get your very own free picture of Captain Midnight and his two young friends, Chuck and Patsy, at your Skelly service station the next time you're off in the family car. It's something every young friend of Captain Midnight should have, because it's autographed by the three most famous members of your own 1940 Flight Patrol. Captain Midnight, Chuck Ramsey, and Patsy Donovan. They're all dressed in their flying suits and helmets, too. Say, people sure will know you're a real aviation fan when they see this picture up on the wall of your room. And, of course, the best part of it is, this swell picture is absolutely free to every member of Captain Midnight's 1940 Flight Patrol. You just show your Skelly man your membership card and get your free picture right then and there. So remember, when you're out in the family car tonight or tomorrow or Sunday, have Mother or Dad stop by your Skelly service station for sure. Have your membership card all ready so your Skelly man can give you your big free picture without a single moment's delay. Now don't forget to tune in again Monday, same time, same station, for further transcribed adventures of Captain Midnight, brought to you by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jobbers and Dealers. Can some way be found of saving Bud Conley's life? With a takeoff by airplane impossible, are Captain Midnight and his party stranded beyond reach of help? Be sure to listen Monday. Until then, this is Don Gordon, your Skelly Man, saying goodbye and happy landing!